Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You might know my next guest's name, Trey Ellis. He's a novelist and a screenwriter, assistant professor at Columbia University's Graduate School of Film. He blogs for Huffington Post and Babbel.com. He appears on News and Notes on this station. But a few years ago, his world was rocked when his marriage split up, leaving him a single father with two children still in diapers. And he's written about this experience in his new memoir, Bedtime Stories, Adventures in the Land of Single Fatherhood. It's a type of memoir that would be described as, let's say, candid or maybe nakedly honest, because in between writing about potty training and mashing bananas, there are lines like, if I did end up paying for sex in Rio, it would not be the first time. Trey Ellis, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
And you have agreed to read a little bit of your novel to start out. You want to set it up for us?
Sure.
I said novel. It's a memoir.
It's a memoir, but I'm a novelist. I wrote it like a novel. I want it to be read like a novel, but it's a true novel. When my wife left me to raise my kids, my son was 8 months old. My daughter was 3 years old. And I had to grow up suddenly. And I had this life of being sort of really fascinated with James Bond and the Jedi Knights and just being a big kid. And suddenly I had to be just a mommy and a daddy. The biggest problem with a grown man still clutching to the fevered fantasy of a 14-year-old? 14-year-olds don't have kids. Commander Bond is the bachelor. Obi-Wan Kenobi never had to debate with his daughter the merits of taking Senior Charlie Ham, her kindergarten class hamster, home for Easter break. Since becoming single, I was developing a different fantasy for my tiny family. I imagined my kids and me as a family of red-tailed hawks perched on a desolate, angular cliff in the midst of a slanting ice storm. My little ones would nestle under each of my broken wings, warm and dry against my heart, while I would squint stoically into the cold needles of icy rain. In this fantasy, I luxuriate in paternal martyrdom. But it is only now that I'm writing this that I realize that not only am I keeping my little ones dry under my wings, their lovely little bodies are keeping me warm, too.
It's very sweet, but it's also that you did find kind of a superhero image for a single father.
Yeah, I think I'm very vain, and my whole life I've seen myself sort of as a character outside of myself. My second novel was was a Romana Clay, very autobiographical. So that wasn't so new. And the challenge to me to write in this book was to write a piece of literature that was actually about myself. And it's with the distance of writing it, it's been interesting because I started writing it about 3 years after the events that I'm writing about. So I saw it as the character Trey Ellis doing these things.
And you know what's interesting to me about this, too, is that a lot of men experience that moment just by becoming fathers. So did you experience that, too, and then it just went to a whole other level when you had to be a single father? Or somehow did you escape, you know, the act of being a parent while married? Did you manage not to grow up even in the face of that?
Yeah, I've been resistant to growing up. I'm 45, and I'm still resistant to growing up. My wife was pregnant with our first, with our daughter Ava. I was driving a 73 Mustang convertible, and I just bought it for $4,000. I was going to just drive it until she was born. I was going to get an SUV like everybody else in California. And, she was born, and we got an SUV, but, of course, I kept the Mustang, and I just couldn't bear to part with it. It's my other son.
So we're going to open the phones for single fathers and children of single fathers at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How did the experience change your life? How do you think you are judged compared to single mothers? We'll get into some of that with Trey Ellis, 212-433-WNYC, or anything else you want to say, 212-433-9692, or post to our page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see a comments board for this. I want to ask you about being judged. Did you feel like you need to learn skills that are usually the bailiwick of women, braiding hair, buying clothes? And do you feel like because you're a man, you have to prove yourself and your parenting abilities in a way that a woman might not have to?
Yeah, but it works both ways. I also feel that I'm graded on a curve. So if the kids are basically dressed and have taken a shower, the moms at school think, oh, what a great parent you are. What a great job you're doing with your kids. But I'm proud, and working my daughter's hair has been a challenge. And when she, I really make an effort that when she goes to school, I don't want people to say, oh, yeah, she's the one with the poor dad by himself. That's why her hair's all lopsided and her ponytails are going in crazy directions.
You know, being on at the time of day we are, there are a lot of stay-at-home parents who listen to the show. And on a number of occasions, we have opened up the phones for single fathers, and we always get flooded at 212-433-WNYC. Feel free to call right now, single dads. There are stay-at-home fathers. That's one category where the mother goes out to work. Then there are single fathers, which is a whole other category. And yet it seems to me that I never see these fathers in the playground. There are always these scrums of moms with little kids and never a man in sight. Why is that?
Yeah, it's the playground for women in general is a world of, depending on the neighborhood, it might be for caretakers of kids who are all together, and they become friends while the kids play in front of them. And then the moms, like in Little Children, if you remember the first scene of that film and in the book, the mothers are all together. And then when the father arrives, it's suddenly the rooster in the hen house. And there's a bit of that. Sometimes it's not the most welcoming place for a man.
Do you have a support network of other single parents, and are they both men and women?
I have a support. In California, I had a support network of friends and nannies that, you know, I live in nanny and students that would help me with the kids because I just couldn't handle it by myself. Here, now that the kids are 9 and 6, it's really the three of us on our own. But I make my kids work like dogs. That's what, you know.
Yeah, like what?
Well, I just had them, I make them unload the dishwasher, and they say, I'm not your slave. But it's a thrill to me to have them finally working, because I just remember the days when they were both in diapers, and I had to do everything.
How old are they now?
9 and 6.
Lewis on Staten Island. You're on WNYC with Trey Ellis. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Well, I'm upset with the people sometimes because they always shun at the parent and the mom, because she had to go back to school. You know, and she couldn't deal with the fact of having a child, so she left them with me. So right away they say, oh, she was wrong. No, it's not wrong. If anything, by putting my children in ACSs or in a foster care system would be wrong. You know, I don't think she did anything wrong by leaving them with me.
It was, oh, right. You're saying it wasn't wrong to leave them with you.
Right.
But was it wrong to leave them?
No, I don't see that it was wrong. It was just she wasn't ready. I was. She's 14 years old and happily, very happy child.
14 years old?
Yes.
Trey? Oh, your daughter is 14 years old.
Yes, she's 14 years old
now. Right, I got it.
Yeah, a lot of people read the book and they want to blame my then wife for leaving. And, you know, men have been leaving since the beginning of time and we judge them, but there's something about mothers and they're really, really harsh on judging another mother for deciding not to. Who she decided she wasn't a great full-time mom. It would be easier, certainly, if she were a full-time mom with me or at least half-time with me. And I'm trying to, you know, coax her into being more of that. But I don't blame her. She is who she is.
Exactly. Well, you guys have a good afternoon, and thank you.
Thank you,
Lewis. Thank you. Trey Ellis' book, Bedtime Stories, Adventures in the Land of Single Fatherhood. Our lines are full, except for the one that Lewis just finished up on. You can sneak in there at 212-433-WNYC. I want to ask you about dating, because it's a big and unique part of this book. Do you feel like it was easier for you to date as a single dad than it might have been for a single mother?
I do think it's certainly easier because women of a certain age, like in their mid-30s, when they see a dad, you see a man who's got a job, who's raising his kids, who's proven that he's a good like provider and a good parent. That I didn't realize, but that turned out to be pretty a good package. So I had a lot of...
That's attractive.
I was never more popular than when I was newly single.
But, I mean, psychologically, a lot of women really worry about bringing a guy home, how their kids will react, if the man is a creep, whatever. You don't seem to have shared that hesitancy.
Well, what I did instead, and my wife and I, we agreed in our divorce decree to not introduce our romantic partners to our kids for 6 months. Because I'm determined still not to be the guy that says, you know, every second week, here's your new so-and-so, Tata, I just met her in a bar, you know. Or then waking up in the morning with somebody, some strange woman cooking eggs for them. You know, I think that's weird.
Is that 6 months after you split with your wife, or is that 6 months after you meet each new girlfriend?
6 months, knowing the person for 6 months.
Really?
And I know them.
You've got that on paper.
Yeah, that's on paper.
Wow.
We've both broken the rules sometimes, but the intent is to be sure that this person is going to be important in your life. So when I introduce them to a girlfriend, this is my girlfriend, this is very important. And then when I break up with them, which has only happened, you know, twice in these 3 years in front of them, I explain to them what happened and that they've had crushes on kids in their schools, and then the crush goes away, things change.
But you admit some mistakes in the book, like the first time one of your girlfriends spent the night, your 3-year-old daughter, Ava, then 3, looked at the woman, and you write that, quote, "In my mind, she was saying, you just bought yourself thousands of dollars in therapy and my entire adolescence in hell, big boy."
Yeah, it's true. I mean, especially when you're newly single, when someone leaves you, especially, I think you feel so worthless. And when people respond to you and come on to you, or you feel like you can be attractive to someone again, that's very, very powerful, and it's very hard to say no to. But I talk also in the book about the spy craft that I've developed of hiding my dates from my kids.
Katrina in South Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
This is very interesting to me. I am a single mother now, but more importantly, I am the grown-up daughter of a single father.
Wow.
So it was in the late 70s and 80s when I was being raised by my father. And at the time, I never understood how rare that was. No one ever said to me, oh, you know, you poor little child, where's your mother? But I always remember there being sort of a tension around my mom not being there. And, you know, I'm not sure about now, but I know then the decisions around leaving or staying were you know, much more, I think, contentious and complex in the sense of there being, you know, a lot of reasons why my mother ended up leaving. But I think being raised by my father has now turned me into this very, very, perhaps overly independent woman, very much sort of a can-do, take-care-of-myself kind of woman. But it also made me have certain expectations for fathers. And I guess it's one of the things I'd like to leave you all with is when you're a girl who's raised by a father who does cook and clean and take care of the yard and make sure you get to school, you know, and my father was a police officer, so, you know, he was also working really crazy shifts, you become a person, or at least I did, who expects that any man now should be capable of doing the same thing.
Hmm.
And my goodness, if he has a woman in the house too, you know, he should be able to do twice as much.
So is that why you're a single mother? Because your standards are just too impossibly high?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. And frankly, my daughter's father is one of the best, most outstanding single fathers or fathers that, you know, I think a little girl could have. But I definitely think my standards were skewed. I expected a whole lot that perhaps was just based on my own experience and really wasn't based on reality, you know. And I mean, I'm happy for it now. I'm really happy to be the kind of woman who, you know, can expect certain things of a man, can expect that a man will know how to cook and iron his own shirts.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, I think, well, you know, did that mess me up in some way?
I'm really a big fan of, a big proponent of spoiling my daughter. Chris Rock talks about with his daughter, keeping her off the pole.
Yes.
I really want her to think, okay, my dad was wonderful to me, and any man I have in my life is going to have to be as wonderful as I think.
Absolutely. So kudos to you for taking on that job. It's, you know, it's no better than the women, but it's still a very, very good and honorable thing.
Thank you.
Katrina, thanks for your call. As we continue with Trey Ellis, author of the book Bedtime Stories, Adventures in the Land of Single Fatherhood, here on WNYC. One reviewer who wrote about your book said, quote, Ellis shares numerous mistakes that shouldn't be repeated. In many ways, it is a picture of what not to do as you strive to fold your romantic life into your existing, focused on the kids' world as a single parent, unquote. Does that make you cringe?
It doesn't make me cringe, but I just don't agree. I'm really a proponent in kind of new parenting, and on Babbel.com I write about this, and the mothers write about this as well, that in the 50s, up until the 70s, really, if you were a parent, you said, I'm just a parent, and that's all I do, right, especially for mothers. And I don't have – the rest of my life is turned off until the kids go away to college, and then suddenly I'm 50-something and I have a life again. That created a lot of resentment and a lot of neuroses for the kids as well. Suffering is not good. You've got to find a balance between your life and having a fulfilling life that might, which includes having a romantic life and loving and raising your kids. You're a better parent if you're a happier person.
But how have other single parents reacted to your book? Have you gotten feedback along the lines of, geez, I barely have time to brush my teeth, much less date and attend to my profile on nerve.com or travel to Europe and Brazil, like you write about?
Well, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, I work all the time. I work till, you know, midnight, you know, after I teach and put the kids to bed, and then I blog and I write my own books and a movie, and I'm busy. It's hard.
Let's take another call. Larry in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, that's a great topic. I have three little girls, just turned seven. They're all going into odd 7, 9, and 13 this summer. And I think I'm a father, and I do a ton of stuff with them, and I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I think that we've gotten a bad rap, fathers, and the great thing about the feminism in the 70s, it's hard to find an old-fashioned dad that just does nothing nowadays. You know, even at school, when I'm taking the kids to school, I see a certain number of fathers bringing the kids to school, some certain number of fathers coming in, much more involved than I remember my own dad was when I was a kid.
Yeah, but then they talk to their friends on the cell phone and say, oh, I'm babysitting now.
Yeah.
Kate, go ahead.
No, we also feel that the thing is when we do one little thing, we want people to stop and give us medals.
Kate in Mamaroneck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kate.
Hi. I was actually raised by my dad when I was much older than these children that we're talking about now. My mom left when we were probably about 16, and we kind of split up. I went with my dad, and my sister went with my mom. And I had a lot of fights with my dad at the beginning, and I remember screaming at him quite often saying, I'm not your wife. Because, you know, I would be expected to do certain things like cook dinner or prepare stuff or clean up after his sandwiches or whatever. So that was kind of difficult. But once we got over that, it was really nice. And my father and I are much different from my mother. We've got a very similar kind of character. But now, later on in life, I find myself almost in the same situation where I'm married to a guy and we're very happy. But we've got totally role reversal going on. I mean, he's great with the kids. We have three children under the age of 8. And he does all the laundry. He does a lot of the cooking. I work late. He comes home early. And I do all the fixing. I do all the DIY. I put furniture together.
I wonder if you wound up subconsciously seeking out a man who was very nurturing because that's what seemed normal to you.
Right, and also, you know, at the beginning, I was very happy to be the mom, and I worked part-time and everything else. And then it just kind of became that my career progressed faster and in a different direction, and his career just sort of stayed where it was a little bit more. And he was more, he's not as aggressive as I am. And I'm always the one that's thinking, where do I want to be in 5 years? You know, where do I want to take my career? I want to be earning this amount of money or attain this position.
Who initiates?
Never mind. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
And he's much more happy. He's not as ambitious. He gets a job offer and he's thinking, you know, I can leave work at 4:30 right now because he gets in very early. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to do this.
And you're happy with that. You don't feel like you need a more ambitious man to feel that he's masculine.
Well, it depends on the time of day, because sometimes when you're having a fight, you kind of feel like because you still do, you know, I mean, guys cannot buy socks for kids. They can't make sure that the socks in their closets are stocked and that fit. Now, especially when they've got somebody else that does all of that.
Somebody wrote an article a few years ago that we talked about on the show that said the measure of whether your husband is sufficiently engaged with your children is if he knows their shoe size.
Yeah, that's I think that's very true. Yeah. Shopping. What I think is interesting, what you're saying, what I felt with a lot of people I've talked to, and what's part of my book, I think, is instead of saying, okay, here's my gender, here's the role I need to play as a like I'm in a play, the theater of parenting. Instead of that, you can say, like you do in your family, here's my personality, here's my partner's personality, and here's how we're going to parent together. And that's a really interesting thing. And I think that's new, I think, in the history of this country. And I think it helps everybody.
Kate, thanks for your call. We're almost out of time, but, you know, it's interesting to me to listen to the two women who called in who were raised by single fathers. One said that her standards for what she would expect a man to do at home are very, very high. And Kate talked about coming out very independent. Do you have any sense of what your own 6 and 9-year-old children might be turning out as a result of having you as a single dad?
Yeah, it's interesting. For my son, who's tremendously charming and handsome, you know, without having a mom there, I wonder what his, how he's going to love women. I really watch when he has a crush on a girl or talks about being accepted and not accepted. I'm concerned about that. And then with my daughter, she says the boys are yucky. She insists that she doesn't have any crushes on anybody. But I can't tell if that's because she just can't tell me or...
That is age appropriate, too.
Right. It is. No, I'm glad that she doesn't. But I again, as I said, I want her to think, be a daddy's girl when she's 50 and just think that her husband's got to treat her like a princess.
Trey Ellis, his book is Bedtime Stories, Adventures in the Land of Single Fatherhood, published by Modern Times. Nice talk. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. It was great.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, fair trade and the hangers at your local cleaner. Believe it or not, this is an issue. Stay with us.